Our lesson tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 26, verses 1 through 27, or 21 rather. God's punishment of Tyre for her greed at Judah's loss. Colossians 3:5 identifies covetousness, what's in the King James and the English Standard versions, or greed, as the New International Version puts it. It calls it idolatry. And greed is especially offensive to God since it is expressed at the cost of the material welfare of other people. It's essentially taking what could belong to someone else. It's a subtle form of stealing, if you want to put it that way. Well, the city nation of Tyre, it's actually a city-state, was guilty of this sin against Judah. And the severe judgment that was predicted and is still being fulfilled against the city of Tyre for that sin provides a moving lesson for us today. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we are grateful for Your Word. We are grateful for the Holy Spirit who indwells us, who authored Scripture, who illumines the Word of God to us, who also equips us by His power to live the Word. We are so grateful for all these provisions that You've given us, and we'd ask, Father, that we would take advantage of them by listening to the Word of God and heeding it tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 26, verses 1 through 21. It's the entire chapter, actually. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus, or Tyre, hath said against Jerusalem, Aha, she has broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me, I shall be replenished, now that she is laid waste. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre, and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, said the Lord God. And it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters which are in the field shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyre Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, from the north with horses and with chariots and with horsemen, and companies and much people. He shall slay with a sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee, and cast a mount against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee, and he shall set war engines against thee of thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wheels and of the chariots, when he shall enter into thy gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. With the hoofs of his horses he shall tread down all thy streets, and he shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses. And they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of the harp shall be no more heard. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to Tyre, Shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones, and lay away their robes, and put off their broidered garments, and they shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground, and shall tremble at every moment, and be astonished at thee. And they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and say to thee, How art thou destroyed that wast inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city, which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on that all that haunt it? Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall, yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon you, and great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, and thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet thou shalt never be found again, saith the Lord God. Okay, the date of this prophecy being given on the first day of the month of Jehoiakim's 11th year of exile marked it as 587 to 586 BC. That was the same year that Jerusalem fell to Babylon. Now, quite possibly, this prophecy about Tyre's fall is then prompted by Jerusalem's imminent collapse. There's a connection. Well, indeed, God makes that connection in verse 2. Of this chapter. The fall of Tyre is tied up with that fall of Jerusalem. God gave this prophetic oracle to Ezekiel specifically because Tyre had greedily rejoiced over Jerusalem's fall by saying, aha, because Tyre thought she would prosper because of Jerusalem's fall to Babylon. Now, the reason for this expression of greed by Tyre is found in observing the competition and trade that it had with Judah, with the nation of Judah. Jerusalem would have been the capital. Both Tyre and Jerusalem had vied for the lucrative trade routes between Egypt and the rest of the Middle East. Tyre dominated the sea routes, but Jerusalem controlled the caravan routes, the land routes. Now, Tyre responded to Jerusalem's fall like a greedy merchant gloating over a rival's catastrophe. Without Jerusalem being able to secure the overland caravan routes, more products would be shipped by sea. So Jerusalem's fall was viewed by Tyre as an opportunity to corner the market for trade. And that was, of course, going to give her a lot more wealth. Well, since Tyre was a city on an island, very close to the Mediterranean seashore. In fact, the island used to be half a mile off of the sea, and it's essentially a rock out there. It's an ideal situation to have a city because it's essentially surrounded by water, and yet it's close to the seashore. Its suburbs being on the mainland, God pictured Tyre's fall as that of a city being battered and destroyed by storm-tossed sea waves, much as the Mediterranean Sea during a nor'easter. The waves would kick up and beat against the walls, much like they would out on the seashore of the state of Connecticut or Massachusetts. So God pictured these nations that would be coming against the city-state of Tyre as these great waves that are battering until the city is destroyed. Well, God was against Tyre because of her greed at Jerusalem's fall. So he would bring up many nations to batter her like the crashing waves of a storm-tossed sea would batter and destroy a wall. Then the Lord would so devastate the city with his waves of judgment that it would become a bare rock. You notice in verse 4, they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will scrape her like dust from her and make her like the top of a rock, which it is even to this day. And we'll get into that. Well, Tyre would then be a place for the spreading of fishing nets to dry, having been plundered of her wealth by the nations, and her suburbs on the mainland, figuratively called her daughters, being slain by the sword, so that even Tyre would know that God was the Lord. You notice the similarity of the judgment here with the sin. The sin was greedily wanting to get all of these goods and the wealth to come her way. So God was going to strip her not only of her goods and wealth, but strip her of even the city itself and make it a bare rock, take it away so that she had nothing. Now the Lord explained that he would bring Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to destroy all the settlements on the mainland. That would be the daughters, figuratively. Historically, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the suburbs on the mainland and replaced the king on the island city of Tyre with Baal-Tu, apparently a loyal vassal king. Switching from the singular pronoun he that referred to Nebuchadnezzar to they in verse 12, God predicted the nations that would follow Babylon in completing Tyre's destruction, and he claimed she would never be rebuilt but a place of the spreading of nets. You notice in verse 12, all of a sudden, and they, switching from he. They shall take spoil of their riches, these other nations, and make a prey of thy merchandise and so forth. Well, historically, Alexander the Great defeated the city in 332 BC by destroying the mainland city that had been rebuilt after Babylon's destruction, and then he took the rubble and dumped it into the sea between the mainland and the island to build a causeway out there so that he could attack it by land with his horses and so forth. Well, that's what he did. He built the rubble, actually made it a peninsula, out to the island fort so that he could destroy it by land. Though Tyre was then rebuilt and is mentioned in Matthew 15, 21 to 28 in the days of Jesus Christ, the Muslim finished leveling the city in AD 1291. So you start with Alexander, you start with Babylon in 586, 587, and you go all the way to 1291 AD, which so there's 12 plus another 500, 1700 years. This thing is in the process of being battered and battered and battered, and finally it's destroyed. What's remarkable is that to this day, though freshwater springs near Tyre dump 10 million gallons a day of water, this is fresh water, into the Mediterranean, still making it an excellent location for a city, the spot still remains a bare rock, and it has not been rebuilt just as Ezekiel had predicted that it would remain. Josh McDowell, in his book, A Ready Defense, on pages 62 and 63, mentions this as one of the remarkable evidences of the truthfulness of the Word of God. You have this prophecy that was fulfilled, and it is still being fulfilled today, because even though it's an ideal place for a city, there's nothing there. It's been clean. And of course, things have changed. The trades and trade routes have changed over the centuries. Nations have developed, and other nations that used to be in the area are now not there. Egypt is no longer a powerhouse and so forth. So you don't have a lot of trade routes going in that direction. It's not profitable to put a city there right now. But this prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, Tyre's destruction would cause her ancient trading partners to lament her loss. And the people of Tyre would go down to the place of the departed dead so that Tyre would never exist as a city again, having come to a dreadful end. That's why it says, verse 19, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring upon the deep upon thee, and great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit. And that's a picture of death going down to Sheol, which they thought was underground and whatnot. So the lesson is, since Tyre rejoiced over what she thought would bring her great wealth in the fall of trade rival Jerusalem to Babylon, God would cause the nation so to beat against the seaside city of Tyre like the relentless waves of a storm-tossed sea that they would destroy her until she became a lasting bare rock for the spreading of fishing nets. Dramatic picture here. This is an island city, a city-state that was very wealthy, that had a tremendous amount of lucrative trade. Highly skilled craftsmen were in her and so forth. And because of this added greed at the expense of God's people in the city of Jerusalem, God decided, I'm going to do just judgment. And so she would actually end up losing not only her wealth, she would end up losing her existence as a city, and it would be leveled and left in to be a bare rock forever. So there's a huge application here. It tells us what God thinks of greed. First of all, may we never function in greed, which is idolatry. And greed is something like being greedy at the expense of someone else. It reminds me one time, we've had paper product shortages during this pandemic. And one time I went into a grocery store and I found some paper products that I needed. And there were two bundles of them there that was left. And the temptation was to get both of them, but I knew that there were bound to be other people that needed that one. So I took just one bundle and left it. The temptation to be greedy and buying, sometimes you go out and you find several bunches of meat there or hamburger, and the temptation is to take all you can. And sometimes they limit it four, or you can take two packages when I know there are maybe only three packages there. That's not fair to other customers. So when it does that, I'll take one package. If there are 10 or 15 packages or whatnot, I'll take a couple. But I won't take that much. Because this issue of idolatry, this issue of greed, there are other people that need the food. So number two, may we never gloat or take financial advantage at the material loss of someone else, but be ready to help those in need. Paul the Apostle mentioned this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. A wonderful passage in regards to dealing with finances. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He says, charge them, verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, that's not proud, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, our riches are not our security, God is. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, that's willing to communicate, that's ready and eager to give of the wealth that we have, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may really lay hold on eternal life. We're not going to have this wealth when the rapture occurs. Whatever money we have stays here. So the point is we need to use it wisely. But instead of hoarding, we ought to be thinking, what can we do to help? What can we do to be of benefit to other people, especially at a time like this? There are people who are going to food pantries, and banks and everything because they don't have food. They don't have money for food, and they need it. And if we have, we should be willing to help.